No, don't raise your hand. I'm going to ask a question here, but I better preface it before. You know, don't raise your hand at this. How many of you have ever tried to lose weight? Okay. So, all right. I said don't raise your hand, but you laughed instead. I'm guessing by the laughter, that's an affirmative. Yes, praise God. I have tried to lose weight. And how many of you who have tried to lose weight have noticed it seems to be a challenge? It's like, boy, oh boy, I try and I try. Well, I used to work for a weight management company. And, you know, people have these people that, you know, they try to lose weight. And inevitably, you're going to run across people that say, well, you know what, I think I have a thyroid problem, and it keeps me from losing weight. You know, well, I have a slow metabolism. And okay, well, yeah, that's possible. However, for all the people that are considered to be obese, and you don't have to be 500 pounds overweight to be considered obese, all right? I think the threshold is like 30 or 40 pounds, and if you're 30 to 40 pounds overweight, you're considered obese. Anyway, for all of the people who are considered obese who are wanting to lose weight, less than one half of 1% of those people have a physiological problem that inhibits their ability to lose weight. In other words, there aren't that many people with a thyroid problem. I'm sorry. And there aren't that many people with a metabolism that is so slow you can't lose weight. Sorry. The problem, it ain't the thyroid. It ain't the metabolism. It's something else.
Well, I know what it is, Brother Martin. We just eat too much.
Okay. But why? Why do you eat so much? Now,
well, because it's there. What else are you going to do with it, right?
No. Here's why it's so difficult to lose weight. It's because we have trained ourselves to eat in a certain manner. Now, eating would include what you drink, you know, the sugary soft drinks and whatever else. We train ourselves to eat in a certain way. Over time, that training becomes ingrained in us to the point to where when we go to try and lose weight, here's what usually happens. Somebody says something like this. Well, you know what? I'm tired of feeling this way, and I'm tired of my clothes not fitting, and I'm tired of looking in the mirror and seeing the Goodyear blimp. So I'll tell you what. I'm going to lose weight starting tomorrow. Come on now. Starting tomorrow, there's going to be a new me. And so, sure enough, you wake up in the morning and you try, don't you? I'm going to start eating right. More salads, less fatty foods. I'm going to cut out all the sugar and I'm going to exercise. Do you realize what you have just done to yourself? You have completely twisted your entire approach to life. You're trying to do everything in one day, and it becomes a war, does it not? The reason is because you're trying to retrain yourself to do something different from what took you years to learn how to do otherwise. Does that make any sense? In other words, you trained yourself how to eat in a certain way, and it's been like that for years. And so everything about your existence is programmed to eat in that certain fashion. Now all of a sudden, you're wanting to lose weight, and you don't understand why it's so hard. It's because you're fighting an internal program that does not know anything other than what you're currently doing. You have to completely reprogram yourself to a different way of eating. For most people, this is extremely difficult. Now, by the way, this is not a sermon on weight loss, all right? Yeah, very funny, Brother Martin. It's Mother's Day. What are you saying? No, we're getting into something here. What you're trying to do is change your program instantly. That's where you fail. And that's why, well, it worked for a couple of weeks, but then, you know, and the Apostle Paul even talked about this, well, a variation on this theme. He uses the term will worship. In other words, you're using will to overpower program for a period of time. What you need to do is reprogram yourself. Well, how do you do that? Quite frankly, for most people, you need to take it one step at a time. You say, well, how long is that going to take for me to lose weight? A whole lot longer than what you'd like. However, I remember when I was teaching the classes at the at the weight management company, I told the people, I said, look, you weighed 200 pounds before you weighed 250. And you knew you were 200 before you were 250. And you knew you hit 250 before you hit 300. You knew it. And you knew you hit 300 before you hit 350. I'll stop there. But do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, you didn't just go to bed at 115 pounds and then wake up with the bed caved in. You know, oh, I need help. I can't get up. It didn't happen. You knew you were gaining weight every time you bought a new belt. You knew it. Every time you had to go up to the next size, you knew it. And you did nothing to stop it. What you were actually doing was reinforcing that eating lifestyle program over and over and continually to the point to where now all of a sudden here you are 30, 50, 60, 100, 200, 300 pounds overweight and you're trying to change everything overnight. You really think that's going to work? No, it's not. It's going to take reprogramming what you do. And the only way to do that is one step at a time. For example, begin cutting out the sugar. Begin cutting it out. I didn't say cut it out. Begin cutting it out. Example, you normally have, you know, a dozen Oreos every day. Okay. Then somebody says, and? What? Okay, cut it back to 8. Cut it back to 8 and replace the 4 with Chips Ahoy. There. Or if you're in Canada, Fudgios. And get yourself programmed to the 8. And at the same time, do you understand that's... You are approaching this from a reprogramming perspective, and it's going to take you longer to lose weight. I got to lose 50 pounds by Friday. Well, let's see. 2 legs and 1 arm. That ought to do it. I got to lose. I got news for you. It ain't happening. But if you reprogram yourself, it will happen. Now, that is an example that so many people can relate to. Now let's move into something else that probably all Christians can relate to. Prayer, primarily praying in tongues, fasting, and scripturally fasting, you're talking about food, okay? Worship, both, well, primarily private worship, but also corporate worship, and God's Word, meditating, reading, confessing the Word, so forth. Okay, those are the 4 things that impact you spiritually and produce spiritual growth. Giving in offerings does not produce spiritual growth. Helping in the church does not produce spiritual growth. Going to the jail and visiting prisoners does not enhance or produce spiritual growth. Church attendance alone does not really produce spiritual growth. Now, it can impact to a certain degree. But think about all the people you know who've attended church for years, and they really haven't changed much at all. They're still kind of whatever they have been. So church attendance alone is minimal as far as its impact. The only things that make a difference are the things that touch us on a spiritual level. And that's prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. Now, the reason those work, and I've taught on those before, but we've seen in Scripture where God has said they work. When you study each of those, you begin to see how they impact every Christian who does them on a spiritual level to produce change in their lives. Now, the reason they work is because God has appointed them to work, and He has anointed them to work. That means when you go through Scripture, you're not going to find anything else that will produce the spiritual change. Sadly, many Christians don't understand this. However, this is the standard that God has established in His Word. So, prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word work. They have an anointing upon them from God to impact our lives. Therefore, as I'm involving myself with prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word, what I am doing is I am coming in contact with the anointing associated with those things, the prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word, and that anointing works in me to help me effect change and produce change. Now, these things work. They absolutely, positively work. If you don't do them, the change will not take place. Now, this is very serious. Because you see, there are a lot of Christians who are firmly convinced that they are greatly matured in the Lord simply because they've been saved for 40 years and attended church for 40 years. Been filled with the Holy Ghost for 50 years. So I know that I'm a mature Christian. No, you're not. You're born again, yeah, and filled with the Holy Ghost, praise God. But the maturity only happens when you do that which produces the maturity. And this is a major problem in the body of Christ in that many Christians don't understand it this way and many churches don't teach it this way. The only way to become what God wants us to become is to do that which impacts us on a spiritual level and produces change. And it all comes back to prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. I have seen nothing else in Scripture that produces the changes. All right, now, this is a truth. It's not going to change. It's not going to alter. It's a standard in the Word of God. So knowing this, all of us who've heard these things taught over the years, we would agree that, well, yeah, according to the Word of God, you know, these things will produce change in my life. Therefore, we know they work. We agree that they work. So then, why aren't we doing them?
Well, Brother Martin, how do you know I'm not doing them?
Because of the way you just said that. I mean, when you do them, you don't brag about it. Pride wants to make sure everybody knows how spiritual you are.
I spend all this time praying. How dare you question me?
I have proof you don't spend all this time praying because you just said that. So let's just be honest here. Nobody wants to admit to it publicly, but I'll be the first to admit it. Why don't I do it as much as I should? Why don't I? But why don't you? Because, I mean, if I'm going to point this finger at me, I'm pointing at you too, praise God. And you watching, Just because you're on the other side of that camera doesn't mean that you're, you know, you're guilty too. Okay, but why don't we do this? Why not? Here's why. It's because we have programmed ourselves to do everything else. There is a program on the inside of us that we have written by virtue of the choices we've made in life. That program exists. It's there. It is going nowhere until we reprogram ourselves. Rewrite the program. Listen, guys, you are never us, we, believers, Christians, none of us in this room, none watching, none listening, we are never, ever, ever, ever in our lives going to start praying, fasting, worshiping the Word. We're never going to start doing those things until we focus on rewriting the program. That is the only solution. Now, think about how many times we've said, well, I'll tell you what, bless God, that sermon yesterday, boy, that got to me. That motivated me. I mean, it stomped on my toes a little bit, but boy, you know, Pastor, he's right. So tomorrow, starting tomorrow, I'm going to pray. I'm going to worship. I'm going to get in the Word, and I'll fast, sort of, maybe. But I'm going to, at least I'll think about it, praise God. I mean, how many times have we done something like that? And then guess what? Tomorrow comes. Now, our intentions are right. It's not that we lied to God when we told Him, I'm going to do this. The problem is the emotional decision to do it is not enough to override the program that's been there for years. There has to be a reprogramming. Now, I'm telling you, that's not easy. Even in the computer world, when they have to rewrite a program, it takes hours. It takes days, months. It is a lot of hard work. Now, I'd like you to turn to 2 Thessalonians. Earlier, I was talking about, and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Earlier, I was talking about, you're used to eating, 12 Oreo cookies a day. And if you're going to reprogram yourself, start out by cutting it down to 8. And even some people groaned about that one. So you cut it down to 8. Now, what do you have to do? You have to focus on the 8, correct? Because you're programmed to eat 12. You eat, 4 for breakfast, 4 for lunch, 4 for dinner. All right, we're going to have to change that. Eliminate the breakfast Oreos. I mean, that's kind of gross anyway. But you understand the imagery here. You have to focus on only doing the 8. You know what's going to happen? After a while, your program will adjust to the 8. Now, how long is that going to take? I don't know. It might take one person a week, might take one person a month, might take one person 2 or 3 days. I don't know. But your program readjusts to the 8 Oreos instead of the 12. Now, for those of you watching in other countries, Oreos are a cookie, and very popular cookie, very good cookie. What you do is you take them, and you dip them in milk, and then you eat them, and sometimes you twist them open because they have that creamy filling on the... I'm just helping the people watching. I want to be sure they understand the concept of proper Oreo eating. I am a teacher, right? Okay, then after you twist them, okay. Anyway, you have to, will you hurry and finish this sermon, Brother Martin? I want my Oreos. Now, for those of you watching, you know what's going to happen? Next Sunday, people are going to be bringing in bags of Oreos to me. Please don't, because I will eat them. But they're in the house, why not? Okay, you have to reprogram yourself, and you eventually adjust to that program. Eventually, you will adjust to eliminating the sugary soft drinks. In fact, eventually, you will adjust to almost no soft drinks. But it takes time. Well, if we're going to change spiritually, to become what God wants us to become, we have to reprogram ourselves. Now, what is it that we want to do? Well, we want to do the prayer of fasting, the worship, and the word. Now, that's something our system is not used to. Now, maybe you have adjusted to that, and you have, you know, a lot of prayer, fasting, worship, and the word going on in your life. But for you to get to that point, you had to go through a reprogramming of your lifestyle, because your lifestyle was not to do those things. So you had to make some changes. Now, here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at verse 13. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. What would be well-doing? Prayer, fasting, worship, and the word. How do we get weary of it? Well, because the program is written to do something else. Look over in Galatians chapter 6. You'll see a variation on this verse with even a little bit more detail. In Galatians chapter 6, in verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So when it comes to prayer, fasting, worship, and the word, the well-doing is the doing of it. And he says, don't be weary. In other words, don't give up. Don't stop. Because in due season, you will reap. What am I going to reap? Well, one of the things I'm going to reap is a reprogramming of my system so that I have a greater drawing to do the prayer, fasting, worship, and the word. And as I become reprogrammed, I will have less and less interest in, just pick this one, spending so much time watching television. So right now I'm programmed to watch a whole lot of TV. Now what's interesting is that you can have a multi-layered program going on at the same time. Well, here's what I do when I watch television. When I sit down to watch TV, I want to make sure that I have my 12 Oreos and my cup of coffee. See what I mean? It is a, you say, well, it's a habit. Yeah, I know it's a habit, but you've programmed yourself to do that. So as I begin forcing myself to eliminate 4 of those Oreos, or as I begin forcing myself to spend that time in prayer, fasting, worship, word, whatever, then I begin the reprogramming process. It does not happen overnight. It doesn't. That's why we're using this term from Scripture, don't be weary. Don't be weary. Because the weariness comes in the I don't want to do this anymore. It's an internal weariness, not a physical weariness, but it's an internal weariness. Look over in James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And we're using various verses here this morning to illustrate this process. In James chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Now, using this verse to illustrate, the husbandman, you know, the farmer, he waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Or he planted corn, he planted beans, he planted strawberries, I mean, whatever it would be, Oreos, I don't know, whatever guy planted out there. But what he does, he waits for the fruit, for the ear on the corn and the beans, and he waits for it to grow so that he can harvest it and partake of it. All right? For me as a Christian, what I do is I keep working on my program. And eventually, I bear the fruit of not just the prayer, fasting, worship, and the word, but I bear the fruit of a changed lifestyle, to where now I have a greater interest in prayer, fasting, worship, and the word. I refer to them as the 4 pillars of spiritual development. I now have a greater interest in those things, and those things become the norm for my life. See this? Right now, the norm for my life is to spend a lot of time watching television and spend a lot of time doing this and that and whatever else. The norm is not prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. So what I have to do is be the husbandman and work hard on the farm, which is my life, to reprogram myself so that eventually I experience the fruit of a new program. He says in verse 8, "Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." I want to be established in this new program. In verse 11, he says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Behold, we count them happy which endure." In other words, as I endure this reprogramming process, which means forcing myself to sit down and overcome the feelings of boredom, of antsiness, of, oh, I just got to go do something else. I just got to do. That's the program on the inside fighting the reprogramming. That's what's going on. And so what I have to do is endure the warfare of my existing program so that I can rewrite and create a new lifestyle program that includes prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word like it never did before. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And look here in verse 1. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Okay, you know, there's a verse in Scriptures over in Hebrews that talks about how we can come boldly before the throne of grace. For what purpose? To receive mercy and grace to help in a time of need. Now, if I do that, and I go before the throne of grace, say, "Father, you know, by faith, I come before this throne of grace, and I'm asking you to minister grace to me, to strengthen me as I go through this reprogramming process," you know what's going to happen. He's going to give you that grace. And so he says, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And in verse 5, look at this. "If any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." In other words, what's the mastery we're striving for? A whole new program on the inside. Changing our lifestyle. We receive the reward of that. In other words, be diligent. You know, you're going to receive the blessing, the fruit. You're going to, you know, increase. You know, just don't be weary in this well-doing. And he says here, endure the hardness. What's the hardness? Okay, very simply. How many of you have, "I'm going to pray, I'm going to fast, I'm going to worship, I'm going to get in the Word," and all of a sudden you find out there's something that's wanting to stop you, and it's a war. That's the hardness. That is the hardness. And it says right here, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." Okay, what is our current program? It is to pay attention to the affairs of life. And that can include watching television. That's a part of my current life affair program. And he says, look, you can't allow yourself to be entangled with this. You're going to have to fight this war against being entangled in all of this stuff relative to your current program. In other words, yeah, it's a battle. And it's an internal battle. A lot of people, and I've heard this before, "Well, you know, every time I try to pray, the devil just comes against me." Every time, okay, then how about this? Do you believe that you have authority over the devil? "Oh, absolutely, Brother Martin." All right, then say this. "Devil, in the name of Jesus, I bind you from interfering with my Bible time today." Now, do you believe he'll be bound? The right answer is yes. Yes, it's funny. Some of you look at me like, "Well, I really don't know. I mean, maybe." Okay. If he's bound, and you're still having the problem, then guess what? It's not the devil. It's you. It's that program on the inside. It's how you have trained yourself to live all these years. That is what you're battling. The greatest battle in this area is not against Satan. It's against us. Now, look over in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And in verse 11, kind of jumping in the middle here, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. All right, flee what things? Well, relative for this teaching, let's just say the affairs of life. The present program, if you will. Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Okay, by faith I believe that the four pillars are going to work in my life. The fight of faith is me, by faith, fighting against that program that's interfering with me going deeper into who I should be in Christ. It's fighting those affairs of life. It's fighting all that stuff that's keeping me from becoming what I need to be. Now, let me just interject this. I already know that some people would want to twist this message and say, well, he's just saying neglect your responsibilities. No, that's not it. But sometimes we create responsibilities that shouldn't be there. It's called false responsibility. We can put a layer of importance on anything we want and then make it important enough to where we justify using it and it becomes a part of our program. Now look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to see something really important that the Apostle Paul wrote. In verse 27, he says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." He says, "I keep under my body." I keep under my body. I keep under my body. In other words, I take control over me and I bring me into subjection to Christ in me, the hope of glory. You know what he's telling you? He's telling you that program on the inside, you're going to find layer after layer after layer of that program. And that program is directly connected to the unregenerated flesh. And so our responsibility is to fight the good fight of faith, to war this warfare, to keep under everything that wants to say, no, I'm not going to do this. As we do it more, as we fight and reprogram ourselves on the inside, as we force ourselves into doing the four pillars, then the program on the inside to do those things becomes stronger and stronger. And we find ourselves doing those things more frequently. But again, this takes time. It's not going to change overnight. Well, Brother Martin, what if you have a prayer line and lay hands on us for a new program? Boy, if it were only that easy. You want somebody that's not yet reprogrammed to lay hands on you to be reprogrammed. Oh yeah, that'll work. Well, yes, but I'll just trust God to change me overnight. Hey, if it were that simple, we'd all be changed by now, wouldn't we? Sure we would. We have to do this ourselves. Now, our flesh has been programmed, our emotions programmed, on how to use our time. What we're having to do is reprogram the use of our time. And this, quite frankly, is going to be one of the greatest battles that we will fight in this life, is reprogramming ourselves relative to what we do with our time. It isn't that our spirit doesn't want to spend time praying and getting into the Word. Our new nature wants to do this stuff. But there's a program on the inside that's overriding what our born-again spirit wants to do. That's where the reprogramming comes in. Now, what I want to do is read a prophecy to you. And this prophecy came from March 2nd, 1989. It was a prophecy that came forth at the very first service of the prayer center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This prophecy has been entitled The Endurance Prophecy. Now, as I read this, there are going to be some references that sound very specific to the prayer center, but the concept in here applies to any and every church. So I want you to listen to this. When you have done all you know to do, stand. Stand therefore, saith the Spirit of grace, for truly I desire by my power to shake this place. For taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and again I would say, when you have done all you know to do, stand. Stand therefore. The key word shall be endurance, says the Spirit of grace. For I will teach you by my power and by my Spirit how to keep building in power until your endurance will produce my desired will in this place. For I will train you, says the Spirit of grace, about the snares and the traps of the enemy. For if you will pray and make it past those hard places, I will give you divine wisdom and understanding that will at last produce power that you can say is of me. For my miracles do I desire to pour out of you. I desire to shake this city and train many people before this first phase of what I want to do is through. So gird yourself up and be strong on my behalf, for I'll show you some things by my Spirit that you can have for an eternity. They will last. So I'm giving you equipment that will work a great reward. For many of you are hungry and have desired to see these things, and I will lead you into that kind of reward. So be brave and stand strong, says the Spirit of grace. I will work mighty, mighty miracles before this is done. You will not lose your place, for your reward shall be exceedingly great. So heed what the Spirit will say, for something new I begin this day. For great peace is my desire for you, that you may fellowship with me in love, and I can filter through and through your life. I desire to take you from where you are to a place with me, a place you have known about way down deep in your spirit that from the foundation of the world I have prepared for you. So, as I lead you from place to place, I desire to flow through you with grace. And if you will edify and edify and edify yourself, you will see before this is through, I will purge from you everything that is causing you to fail. You will not only taste the victory that changing circumstances can bring, but you will taste the victory of resounding peace inside you that will dominate everything in the circumference around you. Oh, for edification, 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 higher, higher, higher in me, that you will complete the first foundation of your life, that I may be able to move you into intercession, that you can cause those that are bound to be set free. For Satan is furious, says the Spirit of grace. He already is mad, and as a whirlwind is stirring up the demons against this place. But stand fast and edify yourself into a place with me, and when the storm comes, you will be delivered. Oh, you will be able to deliver the power that is of me. So be glad for the wellsprings of life and the counsel in the heart of man. I will draw it out. For there are many matters of wisdom that I desire you to understand. For I will teach you to walk in power. For my children, the thing between what I desire and what is now taking place is being purged every hour. For many people come to this city for training, you see, and, oh, I desire to give them full training that they may leave in my power. So, all of you who said, I hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be full. For I'll bring you into a place with me. Yes, yes, for I will bring you into a place with me. The key in this is endurance. And he's telling you right here, if you'll stick with it, the change is going to come. The power is going to come. The revelation is going to come. Everything that has hindered each and every one of us, everything in our lives that has prevented us from becoming everything that God desires, it will be purged. But endurance is the key. Now, he made this statement. The Lord made this statement toward the end of this. For many people come to this city for training. I've seen that happen in the nearly 20 years that I have been associated with the prayer center in Tulsa. I've seen a lot of people who have moved there. I'm going to be trained. I'm going to be, you know, prepared for my ministry and so forth. And I can stand here and give you the names of people that were absolutely destroyed. People who meant well, their intentions were right, but they did not endure. Because you see, the four pillars work. They absolutely work. And if you continue to do them, the change begins to manifest. You bear the fruit of that change. You cannot not experience change. You cannot avoid change. If you're doing these things, it will happen. And the change takes place on the inside. The hardest part for me is convincing people of this. I guess I would ask, when you see something in Scripture where God has said, here are the results you'll get if you do such and such, why then would you not believe that doing that thing would work? Why would you believe that it will not produce change in you? There are people that have gone to the prayer center, people who have been involved with the prayer center, and they did not endure. And they got upset. They got angry. And they started blaming the problems in their lives on the leadership there at the prayer center. Many of them left. Well, as I've shared with you more than once in the past, this is not just a church. And if your approach to what we do here is that, well, it's just a church, you're wrong. This is a training center for ministry. And this I can say, any Christian who wants to know how to discover their ministry and walk in the fulfillment of that ministry, I can train you how. I'll show you what's necessary to do in Scripture. But if you don't take the attitude of, that's part of why I'm here, then it's not going to happen for you. There's not this automatic change into everything that God desires. And we have had people here that it's very similar to what's happened at the prayer center. They haven't endured. They've said they've been involved in the four pillars, but they weren't involved the way that they said. They have not endured. And there are some people who have become upset and offended, blamed me, and left. Now, not everybody who has left in that kind of a situation, okay? But there are those who have. And there's nothing I can do. Do you remember when Jesus was ministering, and I shared on this sermon here not too long ago, eat my flesh, drink my blood, and I explained to you what that was all about, and that the people who walked away from him should have known exactly what he was talking about. Their history, their culture, they should have known exactly what he was talking about, but they refused to accept what he was saying, and they walked away. And Scripture says that they left, many of his disciples left and walked with him no more. Well, it wasn't that he couldn't have helped, because he looked at the 12 and said, will you go too? And Peter said, well, where would we go? You have the words of life. So all those people that walked away from him, they walked away from the words of life that could have helped them. Now, I want to read another prophecy. This one is another one that came forth from the prayer center on May 11th, of this year. So 3 days ago. 3 days ago. No, yeah, 3 days ago. This one came forth. Time. Many have abhorred the time it has taken to get where they are and to go where they are going in me. My first words to you were endurance and stand. For without these and a strong foundation upon which to build, I would not be able to move you forward into greater understanding and strength concerning kingdom things. Now where he says, my first words to you were endure and stand, for without these and a strong foundation, the strong foundation that he's talking about here is what he said all the way back in 1989, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. He's making reference to what he shared 18 years ago. He says, I still say endure. As good soldiers, endure the rigors of training and stand strong to be diligent and constant in me. There is much to overcome that the enemy brings, and there are fleshly things which include wrong thinking. Let your transformation continue to be strong in me as you are renewed to my manner of thinking and being in all manner of living. I find it interesting that back on April 30th, Sunday morning, April 30th of this year, the Lord had me teach a message entitled, No Option, Thinking Must Change. It's not a coincidence he had me deliver that sermon, and then just a few days later, this prophecy comes forth where God speaks specifically of how we need this change in the way we think. He continues and says, soldiers equipped, soldiers strong, soldiers immovable in me, ready at all times in ongoing training as we gear up for what I am bringing. The ongoing training is the four pillars. It's reprogramming ourselves to be in that position of being used by Him. He says, I see readiness in the hearts, and I am pleased at the level of trust I am seeing. Time is not a factor with me. As you continue to give yourselves to me in set aside times of fellowship and in daily living. In other words, reprogram yourself so that it's more natural for you to do the four pillars than what it used to be. He says, I am at work connecting these two aspects of fellowship to bring about a continual awareness of my presence in your very being, with my hand in every facet of your life. Your adversary is still speaking loudly of defeat and growling threats about many things, but rejoice and stand strong, for victory is the truth in me. I love those who love me and are fighting the good fight of faith, growing stronger continually. I love those whose hearts are yielding in ever greater degrees, for this gives me much to work with. This is humility. I always give grace to the humble to press in for victory after victory. Do not abhor the time, for it is a building that I am building, and unless your house, meaning your life, is built by me, the labor is in vain. Endure the hardness in your training, for you are being equipped for a place of readiness in me that equates to sweet intimacy, deep understanding, and great trust indeed. You are being equipped in freedom, power, and authority, and to walk in the high places with me requires fellowship beyond what the traditional church sees. In other words, like I shared earlier, traditionally Christians, I mean, we're not programmed to do this, to do the four pillars. We're simply not. And we're not trained to program ourselves this way. We program ourselves according to the flesh, if you will. And that doesn't have to be sin. So do not abhor the time it has taken to reach into the truth for these things. You are not late. You are in me, and I am pleased at what I am seeing. Soldiers in training being increased in their equipping, graduated to the next level of readiness in me. Just ahead are the fountains of outpouring. Be strong in me, for there is much to be had in intimacy. There is much to be had in understanding. There is much more to be had in me, And this includes victory upon victory and many marvelous things. Do not despise the time. Do not despise when steps seem small or unhurried. Unless I build the house, all of the labor is in vain. To give yourself to me is to give yourself to change, to victory, faith, love, life, and peace. Give yourselves strongly to me in your everyday living, for I am abounding toward you in all things. Let your expectancy stand strong. You are not late, for you are in me. Just ahead are the fountains of outpouring. See yourselves strong. See yourselves soldiers. See yourselves in victory. See yourselves loved and whole in me. I am very pleased. See yourselves victory. You are victory. You're victory in the flesh. You are everything he said in here. Everything. Now, 18 years later, he brings to remembrance a prophecy that he gave concerning endurance and standing strong. And what God is saying is that, look, if you will do this, he says, don't abhor the time. In other words, reprogram yourself so that it's not as much of a chore to give yourself over to the time of prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. Now, there are three areas of attack, major areas of attack for every single believer who intends to do this. So I'm just giving you a heads up now. One is an attack on your potential in Christ, meaning what you believe about your potential. Well, you know, after I have prayed in tongues long enough, then God will be able to use me to minister to other people. Okay, and how long is long enough? How long have you prayed now up until this point? And how much more are you going to have to pray? In other words, how are you going to know? Is an angel going to show up and say, you are now ready? How are you going to know? What have you determined will be the checklist that you can, you know, tick off one by one, and it's like, okay, now I'm ready. How are you going to know? Because you see, as I shared before here the other day, in a message about spiritual warfare, the moment you get born again, you have the authority over all devils. The instant you get born again, you have authority over all devils because you're a child of God and the authority of Christ has been given to you. So at what point are you ready? At what point will you step out and do anything? You know, I'll just share this testimony, and I hope I don't embarrass the person who shared it with me, but, you know, Brother Lee over here came to me before the service. And he shared how that he was at work here a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and there was a lady, and man, she was having some bad problems with her leg. And so he just said, well, may I pray for you? And she said, well, yeah, okay. So he starts praying for her, and she starts crying. Well, he didn't ask, you know, he just prayed for her and let it go at that. Well, the other day, some people came to him all excited and said, man, this is, you're not going to believe this. I mean, she got healed. And she didn't even start taking her medicine. She got healed. Her leg got healed. Praise God. Praise God. That is our potential. But Satan comes against us in the area of our potential. You haven't prayed enough. You haven't worshipped enough. You haven't read your Bible enough. You haven't confessed enough verses. You haven't fasted enough. And you just haven't. So, you know, you're not ready. You're not ready for this. He's going to come against you in the area of your potential. If you're in this room today and you're born again, you've got potential. And if you're born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, you've got power potential. But it's now. If not now, when? So there's a major, major attack on every single one of us. No excuses. No exceptions in the area of what we believe concerning our potential. Second area of attack is the restructuring of how we use our time. Just try it. Go ahead. Make my day. Try starting tomorrow, restructuring your time.
Well, I'm going to change things.
Okay, praise God. Start changing. You are in for a war, hand-to-hand combat. You against you. That's right, you against you. Because it's a battle. And Satan will try to help you. No, 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 you can't give that up. No, 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 it's getting so close to the season finale. You can't give up. But you like professional wrestling. You can't give that. I don't know what you understand what I'm getting at? The restructuring of your time. There is going to be a massive attack in that area. Because you already have a program that's keeping you away from it, and so Satan's going to try to help you reinforce that program, not rewrite it. The third area, strife and offense. Strife and offense. The third area. That's happened here in this church. Somebody says something, somebody gets all mad, gets all upset. Well, I'm not talking about it, I know. And some people have made it a point. Now, I'm not talking this week, all right? We're talking over the years. And some people have made it a point when they're around me to kind of make snippy little remarks about their offense as though they're trying to hide it, but they can't hide it. I know what they're getting at. Some of those people might be sitting in this room right now. Maybe not. Everybody's looking around like, what? Offense. See, that kind of offense, that kind of strife, it's birthed out of unmortified pride. And the only reason that it has not split this church and spread like an infection is because of the prayers, diligence, endurance, and steadfastness of other people in this church. And there are some people, they've allowed that offense to just take them right out the front door. Hey, you're not going to make everybody happy. And if you get upset because of something somebody said to you, whether it's me or someone else, and you,
I'm just going to leave this church, go find me another church. I guess my time here is done.
You are never, ever, ever before God to leave a church until He clearly instructs you to leave. Oh, and everybody can say God told them when they're upset about something.
Well, you know, I'm just, you know, I don't know. Well, God must be leading me out of here.
Well, maybe He is. But you better be sure. Hey, you know what it's like to be preparing for Sunday morning service and somebody walk in and say,
I'm leaving. Don't try and talk me out of it.
And then they actually do. Leave. It's like, well, hallelujah. Okay. Strife and pride, I'm telling you. Now, I'm not going to point fingers or thumbs, but what I am going to say is this. There are some people in this room right now, you're battling in that area. Cast it down. Cast it down. Do not let it manifest any longer. Because this is Satan working on you to get you to think far more highly of yourself than you ought. Look, I already know that I cannot please everybody with the decisions I make. I know that. Because everybody has their own ideas about how a church should operate. But at least have enough faith that I am seeking God and doing what He wants for for this church. Not what he wants for the church over there or the church over there, but what he wants for this church. For this church. So those three areas, an attack in getting you to not believe in your potential, an attack in the area to try and hinder you from restructuring your time, and an attack in the area of pride. You beat those, and you're going to be walking in more victory than you've ever known. And don't be thinking, when I say more victory, you know, the crazy thing is some people start thinking in terms of, that's right, I'm going to have more money than I've ever had in my life. Gee whiz, guys. No. How about more legs healed? How about more eyes healed? How just more people saved? Whatever that means. How about walking as Christ in this life? How about maturing to the point to where on the inside of us, we have the exact same knowing that Paul had when he said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. The endurance is the key. The endurance is the key. And this is for me and for every one of you because I'm not exempt. Every single believer is in this. Satan can't stand how we've made it to this point. He doesn't like where we are as a congregation, let alone where you are as an individual. He doesn't like it. But along with that, he sure doesn't want us to go any further. Because the one thing that Satan does not want, out of the many things he doesn't want, is for people to become true, for Christians, to become true reflections of Jesus Christ. Because when we reach that point, remember what Jesus was talking about. He made a statement, and again, I forget chapter and verse, but he made the statement, Satan has nothing in me. Remember that? In other words, he can do whatever he wants. There's no pride strong enough in me to rise up to hinder my walk. He cannot convince me that I don't have my Father's potential because I know what I can do. What would you like? What's that? Your eyes to be open? Okay. Receive your sight. That's potential. When we get to that point, that's when we are an immeasurable threat to Satan. Because there will be nothing that can stop us. Not even the passing of family members, the loss of a job. It won't matter. It won't matter. Nothing will be able to stop us. Nothing. Now, what do you think it's going to be like if you had a church full of people like that? You're talking revival.